So I'm not sure if you remember that about 4 weeks ago, we talked about choices. Jesus confronted us with to choose between going after worldly treasures or heavenly treasures, looking through a good eye or bad eyes, whether we would, which master, he asked us to choose, which master we would serve, whether God or money. And as we continue on to look at life in the kingdom of God, Jesus challenges us in the Sermon on the Mount to make some more choices. Our daily lives are filled with choices. Some choices are easy to make, and we do it probably not even really thinking about it. I mean, I got up this morning, I had a shower, I brushed my teeth, I came to church. I didn't really think, well, should I have a shower? Should I brush my teeth? Should I come to church? Well, I guess I didn't have much of a choice of whether coming to church or not. My wife made me. No. You know, those are daily choices which just are easy. They're sort of things that we don't think about. They're choices we make without thinking about them. Yet there are other choices which we face throughout life that cause us to really think. When we're in high school, we have to think and choose which courses we're going to take, because that'll affect our future. And when we're from there, it's what career are we going to go into? Are we going to be a computer techie, or are we going to be a tradesperson? What are we going to do? And are we going to get married? And if we are going to get married, who are we going to marry? And then it's, if we get married, are we going to have children? And how many children are we going to have? And where are we going to live? And are we going to buy a house, or are we going to rent a house? When are we going to retire? Those are all choices. And they're not easy choices. They take time, questions that take much thought and consideration. Most of us don't like making choices. And maybe that's why on opinion polls you have three choices. Yes, no, undecided. And so many people click the undecided many times. The reality is, we face many choices throughout life. Some of them are small and insignificant, while others are major and take a lot of time as we try to decide what we should do. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, Jesus confronts us with the most important choice of our life. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus challenges us to choose between two gates, a wide gate, or a narrow gate. Two roads, a broad one, leading to destruction, or a narrow path or a narrow road leading to life. And he challenges us, which group will we walk with? The large crowd or the few? These choices which we must make will affect our entire life and our eternity, our eternal future. So let's take a little time to look at the picture which Jesus brings to our mind here, which challenges us to make a choice. And to me, it is really a picture. I just grasped it. Like when I saw this picture, I thought, this is sort of the picture I start with. He talks about two roads, a broad road and a narrow road. This is not a new concept of two ways of thinking. We read in the psalmist sharing a similar thought in Psalm 1. He states there that there's the way of the righteous, and their way is the one who delights in God's law, bears fruit, and prospers. And then there's the way of the wicked. Their way is compared to the one like chaff, the useless portion of the grain that is just blown away by the wind and eventually perishes. Jesus seems to be picking up on this psalm as the way of the wicked is the broad road. The word broad here has the meaning of spacious and roomy, large, like the picture you see there, the broad road, spacious and roomy. There is room for many different opinions and moral values. There is room for anything and everything. It's easy to in a sense, to travel as there's no real obstacles to navigate. Oh, you believe that? No problem. You can walk on this road. You believe this? No problem. You can walk on this road. It doesn't matter what you believe, where you stand, you can walk on that road. And that's why there's a crowd on that road. John Stott wrote, it, meaning the wide road, has no curbs, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. Travelers on this road follow their own inclination. That is the desires of the human heart in its fallenness. In other words, if it feels good, do it. And you can walk on that road. Nobody's going to condemn you or criticize you for walking on that road. There's no effort needed to travel on the broad road, for each one of us is born with a fallen nature, a nature which desires to follow the things the broad road has to offer. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, we read this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The heart. We talked about that, right? The heart is deceitful. And then while in Ecclesiastes 7:20 declares, and I know we don't like to hear this, but there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Yeah, that's us, folks. Our hearts are deceptive and wicked, and there's nothing righteous in us. We don't strive to do what's right. If we're left to our own, we will walk down the broad road. These are just two scriptures of many scriptures that tell us how we are bent to follow the broad road. Jesus warns that those who travel in the broad road are being deceived into thinking that everything's okay. I mean, do you remember the picture of the broad road with the nice wide paved road, center line, everything's smooth, there's no problems? But they're deceived, because the truth is the road leads to destruction. And the word destruction here comes from a common Greek word that's used to refer to eternal punishment. In 2 Peter 3, verse 7, you use the same Greek word. "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Those traveling in ease and comfort, those doing their own thing, will find the broad road they have taken will eventually lead them far from God to a place of eternal destruction. In other words, as we travel the broad road, God is here, and the broad road just keeps going further and further. Oh, it looks good at first. We're on that road, and things look good. We're talking about faith, or we're talking about a God, but eventually we find out that, oh, we're not talking about the one and only true God. And our faith isn't in Him. So we're walking further and further and further away from God as we walk down that broad road. Jesus states that there's another way. It's the narrow road. This way is much different than the broad road, because this road actually probably has curbs and boundaries which are clearly marked and must be followed. The narrow road, it's narrow because the travelers are restricted to what God has for them. This is the plan that God has for our lives. And so we have to stick within that plan. That plan which He reveals for us in the Bible. That plan which is true and good. I mean, those curbs and those boundaries aren't there to... We talked about that just, I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before, about how God sets things up so, you know, His punishment isn't mean and awful, but they're there to protect us, to give us the best. We are assured, though, that those curbs are curbs of grace, so that when we do bump into them, or maybe even if you're a little wild like me and crash over them, there's grace there. We've sinned, and God has forgiveness when we come to Him. And He's there to help us get back on that narrow road. He wants us on that narrow road. The wording in this verse about the narrow road also has the idea of being difficult. It can be difficult because when we're on that narrow road, there is that chance of persecution. Somebody might come and say, I don't believe, you're crazy, you're nuts. Like, really? You believe that? You believe there's one God? He created the heavens and the earth, and there's no other God? There's one way to heaven, and that's the only way? Are you nuts? You need to be inclusive. But it's also difficult because it takes daily work to stay on the narrow road. We need to read our Bibles so we know where the curbs and the outline is. We need to pray so we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we walk on that road. So it can be a difficult road. There can be challenges on that road. But Jesus encourages that as we travel the narrow road, the reward is life. The Greek word for life here has the idea of eternal life, one that is in the presence of our Heavenly Father, in the life lived out in the kingdom of God, and finally the kingdom of heaven. The narrow and sometimes difficult road will lead not away from God, but it'll lead us closer to God. Because as we travel it, we become more like Jesus. And the more like Him, we end up in a life full of our Heavenly Father. It's interesting to note that there's no third road. Have you noticed? There's only two roads. The broad road and the narrow road. There's not a third road. I mean, come on. There's got to be a third road. There's got to be a road that sort of takes in the broad road and takes in the narrow road, and that we can walk down the center, right? Well, Jesus doesn't talk about a third road. He says there's only two roads. There is no undecided opinion. There is a broad road and a narrow road. There are only two roads. And Jesus states, it is for us, each one of us, to choose which road we are going to go down. My parents can't choose for me. I can't choose for my children. You can't choose for me. I have to choose which road I'm going to go down. Jesus tells us, though, who travels on those roads. Look at Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14 again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Many are on the broad road. We're sort of left with this picture in our minds, or at least I am, of a crowd traveling down this broad road, laughing and carefree. Everything is good. I don't seem to have to worry about the future, what it might bring. In fact, many of them don't even really realize, I don't think, where the broad road is going. They're just traveling on the road because why? Well, the crowd's traveling down the road. They're the majority. They must know where they're going. So we all go down the broad road. We really don't like to make choices, so we just follow the majority. They just travel the broad road blindly. Stanley Cup playoffs in Vancouver and the riots that happened. You know, there were just people there that were just there. Downtown Vancouver, there was a hockey game. The hockey game was over. They lost. They were out in the streets and there was crowds. So the people just hung around. And all of a sudden, they're caught up in riots. And they're actually getting involved in the riots. Why? Because that's what the majority are doing. They're all there. They're all yelling. They're all screaming at the police. They're turning over cars. It's just because the majority, the crowd, and we get caught up in the riot because of the majority. While in comparison, the narrow road almost seems deserted. There's only a few on the narrow road. Yet those who follow the narrow road have turned their lives from sin, placed their hand in Jesus' hand, and travel along that narrow road with assurance of knowing their destination. They know exactly where they're going. Those on that narrow road know where that narrow road leads. Each one has a peace deep within, that assurance then that even when the narrow road becomes challenging, they will make it through. We must choose to be in one of these groups. Will we follow the crowd blindly because they're the majority and the way is so easy? I mean, it's smooth. It's great. There's not an issue. Or will we follow the few who dare to be different and travel a narrow road, which can be so difficult at times? Will we be the people that, where are you going? Oh, I'm leaving to go to church. Who goes to church these days? The few, right? The majority are not at church. Where are the majority? They're on the broad road. Will we be with the few or will we be with the many? The question which remains is, how do we even get started on a road? I mean, how do we get there? Well, Jesus said at the beginning of his text, enter through the narrow gate. He states that there are two gates. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. And we must start by choosing which gate we're going to enter through. The wide gate, which many pass through, is so wide we can take as much baggage as we want. We can take whatever we want with us. We don't have to deal with our past issues or our present issues. We don't have to take care of our sin. We don't have to ask people for forgiveness. We don't have to ask God for forgiveness. We can just take all that baggage heaped on our back and walk through that gate because it's that wide. The other gate is narrow. It's so narrow that we have to look for it. Jesus says only a few find it. And Jesus is that narrow gate. He is the gate. Listen to the words of Jesus in these following verses. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then in John 10:9, we read, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Wow. Jesus is the gate, and he's the only gate. There is no other gate that we should enter. He's the only way to the narrow road. Because the gate is narrow, we can't take anything we want to take through the gate. Because it's narrow and we won't fit with all the baggage and garbage. And Jesus doesn't want all that baggage and garbage on the narrow road. He says, or we're told that if we're going through the narrow gate, we can't take the old self with us. Ephesians 4:22 declares, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There's no room for the old man who we were once. We can't enter through the narrow gate with all our sin. We need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive our sins and accept him. And then we can go through the narrow gate, because then we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So do we follow the crowds? Are the majority right as they go through the wide gate and travel the broad road? I don't think so. In fact, I know they're not. And I don't think that if those traveling the wide road and went going through the wide gate, I don't think if they really knew, if they really, really, really knew the destruction that awaits them at the end, they wouldn't think that's the wise choice to make either. The choice is ours and ours alone to make. Many would say, they have not chosen which gate they will enter and which road they're going to travel, because they are looking for the third gate and road, which is somewhere in the middle. It's got to be there, and I'm going to keep looking for it. I told you about my friend in the machine shop who said that he could ask Jesus into his heart at the very last minute, remember? And he was scraping the steel, and the chain didn't break, but it sounded like it broke, and he jumped out from underneath it. And I asked him, did you ask Jesus into your heart? And he just looked at me. See, he's looking for the third road. He's looking for that road that right at the very last minute, maybe I can jump from the middle to the one side. God's a gracious God, and he gives us chances to choose. The truth is, there are only two ways. If we don't make a choice, by default, we actually choose the wide road. If I say to you, here's $100,000, it's your choice, you're destitute, you have no money, but here's $100,000 I'm willing to give to you. And you go away and say, I don't know whether to accept that or not. You've chosen not to accept it. And you've chosen to stay destitute. If we don't choose the narrow road, then by default, we have chosen the wide road with the crowd that leads to destruction. There's really only one choice, and that is to go through the narrow gate, to continue to travel down the narrow road, which leads to eternal life with our Heavenly Father. It's the only choice. Jesus said, right at the very beginning of the scripture, what did he say? He didn't really say choose. He said, enter through the narrow gate. He didn't even really give us the option of going down the wide road. In other words, if you've got a head on your shoulders, enter through the narrow gate, he's saying. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus encourages us to enter through the narrow gate, because he knows once we enter through the narrow gate that we'll be on the narrow road. That road that leads us and guides us to a life of eternity. That road that may be few on it, but the Holy Spirit is on it, that watches over us as we travel. That road where we can call out to you at any moment and you are there for us. That road where you walk along beside us. Father, may we continue to walk on that narrow road. May we continue to serve you. Though the times will be challenging, though they will be difficult, we know with assurance that you are there to strengthen us and to walk with us and even to carry us on the narrow road at times. Father, may we continue to walk that narrow road, even when the majority, even when the crowds are walking the other way. Lord, may you and you alone be glorified in our lives. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.